Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Taryn watches live feeds all day long. Brent's always there to say when he's wrong. They've got the feud that just won't quit. And Melissa's the one who has to deal with their sh**. They're the LSD. They don't do it for free. While you're living your life, they're watching TV. They're the LSD. They do it for you. Watching, and soon you'll be watching them too.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Big Brother Canada 7 Roundtable Podcast. This is the podcast where we break down everything from the feeds. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Melissa. How are you doing, Melissa?
I'm doing all right. I'm not super thrilled with the result this week, as it currently stands,
but whatever.
I'm starting to get to the point where I just want to see the guys just pull it out and just like, let's get rid of these peripheral people and just move forward with the real game players. And, you know, that's what I'm currently at. But anyway, on to the next introduction.
Sounds to me like you're saying you did not enjoy the most well-executed plan in Big Brother Canada history, which...
Uh-oh.
Also with us tonight, I don't know if he enjoyed this plan either. It's Brent Walgemont. How are you doing, Brent?
I didn't enjoy this plan. I've been a Sam fan, and it's so weird too. I do feel like in some ways she represents my Rachel. You know, she's in a showman, she's feisty, she likes to win the comps and that sort of thing. But she just, you know, just shooting blanks at various times, and when she could shoot, she couldn't shoot straight, always shooting at the wrong person. Even in this week when she's trying to keep herself from going off the block, for some reason kept going on about Dane. Hello, honey. Dane has the veto. He can't go up. He can't go up again. So, I always pick the crackheads. That's what I have that at the top of my Twitter. I always pick the crackheads, the people that don't know what they're doing in the game. I always root for them. And that's where we're at right now.
That's where we're at right now. We are also live on YouTube, so you can join us in the chat if you want to hang out. But we are going to talk about everything that's happened over the course of the last week on the live feed. So let's start to recap what we've seen. The last time we left you on the roundtable, we were talking about how the blood veto was probably not going to impact anything. And in fact, the blood veto did not impact anything. Kiki was evicted from the house. Kira chose not to use the blood veto. And, we've talked about it on the recaps and such, but obviously this twist really, really failed here in many ways.
Really, really frustrating. Now that I know the mechanism, the twist, I'm so frustrated about this Mm. Oh my God. I'm like freaking idiots when they say it wrong. God, I just sounded like Biff or, yeah, the older Biff talking to younger Biff in Back to the Future 2. You sound like a freaking idiot when you say it wrong. Take like a treat and leave. Okay, moving on. The blood veto, like Kira, she at various times has been really upset with Dane, mainly for, things to do with Sam, but really upset with Dane. If Kira wanted to, they could have gotten Dane on the block last week, really gone after Dane. And even though the votes would have been there to save Dane, Kira could have sent Dane home. It's really frustrating. Like, you could have used this blood veto in a really awesome way, but it just blew up in our face and it was a big bunch of nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was literally nothing. It's as if it never happened.
Yep.
Yeah. And honestly, I'd even say that that wouldn't even be an awesome way, because, you know, maybe that's a theoretically good outcome. But even I would say that's not a good outcome. But even leaving it with that power gives it a potential for way more bad outcomes, where the flip finally does happen and the pretty boys are able to overturn it or something
like
that.
That would
lines.
Be good gameplay. I would say I would have liked it if Kira would have thought of this. Like, I had high hopes for Kira coming into this season. I think we all did. And the fact that they couldn't even think of that as a potential avenue to pursue, because they have the blood veto at the beginning of the week. I'm pissed about that.
Mm. Well, we also saw that prior to the eviction, Corey was very anti-Dane. She had been sort of turned against Dane in some ways by Kira. Anthony had been putting some work in with her to make sure that everything was okay, that the blame fell mostly on Adam and Sam. But for the most part here, prior to the eviction, Corey was very concerned about Dane. And she had a conversation with Kiki where she basically turned Kiki against Dane, convinced Kiki that Dane was the reason she was on the block, and that that Dane is the bane of her existence, essentially. And so we saw Kiki really rail against Dane in her message, in her eviction speech, which is basically her goodbye message.
Yeah.
And ultimately this kind of ends up helping Dane in many ways, because Corey is later going to regret having done this. She feels bad. I'm not sure that Kiki has even really found out that Dane didn't have anything to do with her going up and that he actually was trying to protect her. But at the same time, she was expendable to him. It's very complicated. So that's what happens. And then Corey is going to win the HOH after Adam makes a deal with her to keep him and Sam safe. So what do you think about that, Melissa?
Even just the mention of Corey's name is making me angry right now. I'm so irritated with her. I'm so over her. I just feel like I liked her up until she got HOH, and now all of a sudden she's like some sort of crazy person who's like thinks that she's all knowing and all powerful and is like, I'm so amazing and don't cross me. And I just hate this. I just hate it. And this new Corey is a nightmare. And she has, and it's not only that, like, here's the thing is that if someone like Anthony, for example, were to get HOH and have the power go to his head and be like,
would never.
Well, he wouldn't. But I'm just saying, like, if he were to and be like, I'm all knowing, like, I'm in charge, I'm like in control, I'd be like, I don't like it, but I get it because he is in control and he is powerful and all that sort of stuff. But Corey has no idea what's going on in the house. She's totally being used like a little puppet and is doing somebody else's bidding and is sitting there saying like, I'm in control, I'm powerful, whatever. And like, it's like, can you not see that all your moves are not your own? Like, that's what's frustrating to me, is that she's just doing the work of somebody else, thinking that she's doing great work when she's going to be next out the door. Like, this is my frustration when Paul was in charge, and it was like all these people kept thinking like, I'm Paul's number two. I know what's going on in the house. And I kept saying like, you're going to be next. Like, don't you see that you're next out the door? And that's just, oh God, it makes me so annoyed. So yeah.
It's very funny for me to watch the fluctuation of like who people are rooting for. And I think Melissa is a perfect representation of it, where it's like, the audience is very much just like, you must do what we want you to. And so, anytime somebody gets power, they're not doing what the audience wants them to do. And the audience is like, no, you're the worst. You're the dumbest person ever. And then as soon as they're out of power and the underdog again, they're like, yes, go, Sam, do it.
It's true. I mean, like, look, here's the thing, though, is that I also can recognize good gameplay. So I want Anthony to go far. I think Dane's doing a good job, even though I'm annoyed with him because he's not really siding with the people I want him to side with. And I that sort of thing. But I do think he's playing well. So I do want those guys to go far. I think the four of them, I now at this point, I'm over trying to see anybody else rise up or do anything else. I just want to get those people out the door. If we could have like a 5-person eviction right now, like, let's get everybody out, yeah, clear house, and let's have the real game players duke it out. That's really what I want at this point.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think it's weird. You know, I think usually you get this this lull toward the end of the game, but I think we're experiencing it now where, you know, it's really just they need to just kind of get rid of some of these extra people. And, you know, it might take a little while to get there. But
yeah. Quickly, I just wanted to bring something up because we've talked about it a few times or it's been mentioned a few times. You know, the Dane Kiki relationship. Kiki has been all over social media saying that she would have nominated Dane had she stayed in the house. I feel like I really do honestly feel like an 86% of the people in my poll also agree with me that that is bullshit. She would not have done that. She had a hard on for Sam from the very beginning. I don't know how she can't admit that. We watched the feeds. We saw things. Now I get that the day before the eviction, you got your panties in a wad about Dane and you threw him under the bus at the eviction ceremony. All true. But if you stay in the house, like, that doesn't happen. Like, if you stay in the house, that means you're getting Dane's vote. If you're getting Dane's vote, that means that you don't throw him under the bus in the eviction ceremony. So I really feel like it's a bunch of BS. She's even more revisionist than Chelsea as far as, oh, yo, I knew that there was a guy's lines and I would have nominated Anthony and Dane. No, you wouldn't have. Stop lying. We saw it. I just, how can you lie? And we saw everything. Like, I mean, these people irritate me more than someone like Eddie, who I didn't love his game, but he's been on Twitter and has been very nice to me. Even I ripped his game to shreds because these people don't live in the land of reality. At least Eddie lives in the land of reality where he played like shit and he knows it. And he says he played like shit. These people, on the other hand, said they played like shit. And they're like, oh no, if I would have stayed, I would have done everything that you guys wanted me to do. Bullshit. And we know it.
All right. Well, first of all, Brent, I'm very proud of you for actually conducting a poll instead of just taking a couple of comments and being like, everyone agrees.
Thank you.
Everyone thinks it.
That's progress. Second, literally, as you were talking, I just saw in my Twitter feed Eddie responding to you saying, to be honest, I'm being humble for now, but there just may be a slight chance that a long Twitter post defending my actions will be coming your way tomorrow after I finish the episode.
And you know what? That's okay. I can dish it out and I can take it. That is okay. If you got shit to say to me about something that I said about you on Twitter, honey, bring it. I can take it. I am not somebody who is going to suffer fools and I can take my shit. So if you got something to say, bring it. I'm good.
There you go. Good to know Eddie's staying humble, just like Anthony says. Eddie, I don't know if anyone didn't catch the exit interview. Actually, a big fan of the podcast, and he was tweeting out today that he was going to be listening to the podcast. That's why there's been interaction with Eddie on Twitter. Great guy, Eddie.
Yeah, it's because he said that he watched the eviction show where he was evicted, and it was you and Paris and Matt Liguori. And he was like, you guys are so nice. And I'm like, it's because me and Melissa weren't there. Let's be real.
Not even me, really.
Maybe real. You. Oh, okay, fine. Yeah, fine.
Melissa's like, hey, don't drag me into this. I don't like getting blocked.
I don't want to get blocked. I don't think I've been blocked yet, but who knows? I guess
you really haven't.
I wouldn't know because I'd be blocked, right?
Taryn, have you been blocked by anybody?
Just like Evil Dick.
Oh,
but I don't know.
Okay. I've been blocked by Evil Dick. I like that. Okay.
I don't think I've ever said anything about him on Twitter, but I think he just blocks a lot of people. So anyway, so we had Corey win the next HOH. And so Anthony and Dane immediately got to work. Dane started coordinating stories with his allies. Anthony was laying the groundwork. He already had been laying groundwork with Corey previous to her win. But after her win, especially, he really starts planting those anti-Sam seeds. What a manipulator. You know, she's such a liar. Sam comes in. She tells her side of the story. Sam is trying to protect Adam. So she is lying in a few different ways and is not very good at it. Corey catches on. So Corey is like, I can tell Sam's lying. Anthony yep. says she's a liar. This is definitely, lining up. Dane eventually comes in. He tells his side of the story, says it in one take, as Corey says, it all makes sense. He apologizes for his part in not letting her know about the plan that he had found out. Other people come in, they corroborate the story. And just like that, Corey has been convinced that Sam must be lying, which means Dane must be telling the truth, because one side must be telling the truth while the other side must be lying. That's how it works, right? Surely everyone can't be lying to me. Surely I can't be everyone's target. And so the plan becomes Dane and Esty are going to go up as pawns on the block. Dane actually volunteered himself as proof of his loyalty. And the plan is to backdoor Sam. Melissa.
Yeah, whatever. I think that this is so annoying because I thought Corey was just laying low, but like could maybe had a good sense of what was going on in the house. And it turns out that she has absolutely no sense of what's going on in the house, and that really Anthony is truly controlling everything that she does. I thought that she had a mind of her own, but that she was just working with Anthony as an ally. And that's what she seems to think she's doing, but that is clearly not the case. She doesn't have her own game. And now I'm annoyed that we voted her into the house over the other girl.
Yeah, I am really annoyed about it too. I will say this though, that from Corey's perspective, and you know, I will just be honest with everybody from the start. I own some Corey stock, and I'm going to rate her lower this week. However, I do see some things from her perspective, even though she's not making the correct moves, and by virtue of that, she deserves to be rated lower. She is, you know, you can't win Big Brother by yourself most of the time, unless your name is Kevin Martin. So you have to have allies, and she thinks that she has allies who are working on her behalf in Anthony and to a lesser extent Mark, who she's gotten close to over the past, you know, week or so. And I will say that I am inclined to think, first of all, Anthony is the most powerful person in the house right now, and he wants to keep her safe. He was just going on earlier today about, you know, why is Adam's side piece targeting me? Why is Dane's side piece targeting me? Why is my side piece not targeting us? I got full control over her, man. That's what I'm talking about. So I feel like that she's actually in an okay-ish position, even though she really doesn't have any true agency within the game. It's sort of like a false sense of agency where she feels like she's part of an alliance or a group of people who are working together, or even just a few people who have a couple of good relationships where she can control the flow of the game. We know that's not true, but I can see it from her perspective where it might be true.
See, but those people annoy me more than anybody else, because it's like the Christine of Big Brother 16, where it was like, she's like, I'm working with the guys. And really, it's like, no, you're not. They don't want you in this game. You're next.
That's the problem, though, when you're a passenger and you're not a driver. And right. I feel like Corey has, by virtue of her position as HOH, is under the mistaken belief that she is a driver, and she is not. Right. She is a passenger, yeah, being told what
totally
to do. And she needs to realize that.
Yeah,
she's totally a passenger who believes just merely by virtue of being HOH that she is a driver, and she is no driver.
Yeah, and she's trying to figure out which side is lying to her, and she's correct when she decides that one side is lying to her. She doesn't realize the other side is also lying. There's a lot of social sort of like reinforcing of ideas of like, Anthony says one thing, it's backed up by Dane, it's corroborated by other people. Dane tells her that he's great with Anthony, so that he would never be so he's also great with Corey. A lot of people always tell her, you know, you and Anthony, you two, you're really tight, you're really close, you can trust Anthony, Anthony's such a great guy. And then Anthony is you know, putting her putting specific ideas in her head about other people she can trust, and it's a reinforced sort of cycle of, you can trust this person, then that person says, yeah, you can trust this person, and then, you know, she continues to trust both people even though both people are lying to her. And so you can see where Corey's head is. You can see what she thinks she's doing. The problem is that she's just completely, it's like they put a VR headset in front of her face, and so she's like, she's playing an entirely different game. She's killing that game. She's doing really well, but yes, it's not the real one.
Not the real one, exactly. I will say this, though. What would we have Corey do? Like, if Karen, or Melissa, like, given the dynamics of the house, tell me what you want Corey to have done that would make sense for the game that she's currently playing and the social bonds that she currently has.
I think that she should put up Dane and Mark, or Adam even. Like, Dane, I just feel she needs to put them up. And
that was the one.
Because then if she can separate, look, if she ends up being the final, like, her and Ant, I wouldn't say, oh, go against Anthony, because that makes no sense for her game. But I don't think she should go against Damien, because Damien is good for her game. But I think that the relationship between Dane and Esty should be concerning for her. But I don't think Esty is the problem. I think also the relationship between Adam and Sam should be concerning to her. Like, any other peripheral relationship to those guys should be concerning to her. And so I think she should get rid of or put those two guys on the block, Dane and Adam.
Yeah.
And I just think that's the way it needs.
I also think that this whole guys alliance thing that has been going through the house for the past few weeks, and even though people have totally poo-pooed it, it still is a thing in some people's eyes. Even in the back of Corey's mind, it has to be still be a thing. Just don't take the chance here. Just put up two guys. I mean, no offense, but even if it was Damian, I would actually feel a little bit better about this, even though I know that she likes Damian. And that was never really going to happen. But I would have felt better about that than what's going to happen with Sam going.
Honestly, I feel like her best move at this point would have been throw that first veto she won and throw this HOH so that people don't see her as a threat. And then you know, she's a much better chance of Anthony protecting her to the final five, at which point she can maybe win out. And I think that's probably her best bet to win the game, honestly. But I do think secondary from that, she has won this competition. She can't do anything else. So at that point, she should, I think, put Dane and Adam up on the block. I think that's the right call. And the purpose of that would be that if they are up on the block together, then they have to start coming to terms with the fact that what if one of us doesn't win the veto? What happens then? Who gets whose vote? They start campaigning against each other. And then, you know, unfortunately, in this scenario, if Dane still wins the veto, I think she's kind of in a rough spot there. You know, she can't really put up Anthony. If she puts up Mark, I feel like Mark is kind of an easy one to let go, or they can just let Adam go. And then it doesn't matter at that point anymore. The Titans aren't fighting against each other, and she's lost all of the leverage that she has. And then she's taken this big shot, and it will be harder for Anthony to protect her, but I think it's going to be hard for Anthony to protect her anyway, and so I think she should have taken the shot, but obviously she has no idea that this should even be the shot that needs to be taken.
Yeah, by the way,
there's a good cover with that, which is, oh, both of those guys, I don't know who to believe. They're saying that those are the two guys who were going to try and backdoor me, who came up with this backdoor plan last week, so I have to put both of them up, and it's a totally legit cover. Not that she would have any knowledge that there should be some other motive by putting them up, but like, it's an easy thing to say, whereas like she doesn't have to tell people like, oh, it's a guy's alliance and I didn't want to put a girl up or anything like that. Like, she just would say, these are the two guys who supposedly came up with the plan to backdoor me, so I'm putting you on the block.
By the way, Taryn, do you agree with me that there should have been a tell for Corey to know that there's something amiss here? There's something going on when Dane so willingly agreed to go on the block. I mean, if I'm playing the Big Brother game and I'm playing with somebody who I have some faith in, and I do have some faith in Dane, he's playing a good game. He's a smart guy. He knows what he's doing within the Big Brother game. If he agrees to go on the block, I mean, you have to think to yourself, okay, why is he okay with this? Why is he okay with going on the block so willingly?
I think so. And I think that his conversation with Corey, he wasn't the best actor. And we saw in the diary room, she was like, he's kind of sketchy in this conversation. He was able to coordinate. And so the facts matched up. But in terms of like the way that he was acting, it was a little weird. And I do think that the fact that he was willing to, you know, throw himself up on the block is kind of a red flag. However, again, it comes back to the social reinforcement, where when she talks to Anthony about it, he's like, yes, exactly. That's perfect. That's exactly what we'd want. That's exactly what we'd expect from somebody that's loyal. And she's like, yeah, that is. Yeah, you're right. Because Anthony is supposedly this sort of like third party who's giving her advice, who's very smart, who has all these connections, who's been protecting her in the game. And his reads have all been right so far. This is something that we talked about in Big Brother 19, where it's like, Paul is always right. He's always giving you good advice. It's always turns out correct until he turns on you and you're gone.
Yeah, like, exactly.
So yeah. That's how it works.
By the way, I am very taken with the idea that Anthony is a Derek. I mean, the way he is lining stuff up to have people around him already putting in seeds about next week, planting trees, as he talks about, having options moving forward. That's the other thing that I don't like about Corey's move here, is that she doesn't really have options. She's got one play, and that's stick with Anthony and to a lesser extent Mark. And you know, she has somewhat of a relationship with Damian, but on the other hand, Anthony's been planting seeds about him. So you know, if you got one road to hoe, I feel like that's a bad place to be in within the Big Brother game.
Yes. One thing that I just remembered just a second ago, we were talking about people who blocked me. If you were a fan of the blockumentary for season 3, I can give you an update that Marcellus has also now blocked me.
No way.
Really? Oh my God.
No,
what?
No idea why. I can't imagine why? That he listened to the blockumentary. But it has happened.
What?
It was probably people mentioning Marcellus and me in the same tweets, something along those lines. But there's a very, if you listen to the blockumentary, this is a very funny moment for you. And if you haven't, check out the blockumentary.
I'm glad that it related to somebody blocking you, because I was like, I thought you were making the jump for me asking about people that blocked you to the blockumentary.
I thought it was an advertisement.
I thought you were going to make a plug.
We're doing a mid-podcast ad.
It's like a Mike Bloom pun, for heaven's sake.
Oh my! People keep thinking I'm blocked. I'm not blocked by Aika. I don't think Aika like actually really dislikes me. I think she has fun with it on the podcast.
Oh my god, blocked.
There you go.
He didn't block me. I'm fine.
I love it.
God, I'm the only one.
I never even tweeted him before. Oh my god, so funny. Maybe like back in a rankings podcast, maybe I said something about it. Oh,
who knows?
Dick doesn't block me either. I'm not blocked by anyone, apparently.
Just not relevant enough.
Wow. That's probably true.
Someday.
No one cares.
You'll earn the block someday.
They're like, who?
Anyway. Ultimately, we see Dane win the power of veto. He's going to take himself off the block, and the Sam backdoor is going to go into play. And just this morning, the veto ceremony happened, and Sam went up on the block and really not looking like she's got much of a chance to stay here. The current vote count would be at least 4-2 with Sam going home. Even if she managed to get a third vote, Corey is also very set on sending Sam home. Does not look particularly likely that she will be staying this week, Melissa.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate because I've really come to like Sam a lot, and I felt like maybe wrongly, but I did feel like I had all of my hope in her hands for anything to happen. And once she's gone, I just think that we're in for the rest of this steamroll, which honestly, at this point, it's fine by me. I don't really want any of the other people to win, so I'd much prefer to have one of the pretty boys win. I think they're the only ones playing the game, and I mean, Kira's trying at least, so I got to give them that, but I just feel like there's been too many missteps by Kira for me to be like, yeah, let's go, Kira, you've got this. I if she can pull off some crazy big move in the next couple weeks or whatever, I will start to give the respect there. But I just feel like Kira's got a lot of stuff rumbling around in their head, and there are some moments where I'm like, wow, they've got it, they know what's going on, like they can see it all, they're gonna do something, and then it's like the next minute they say something else and it's like, wait, no, that's the opposite of what you just said. Like, that's not anything. What? That's not what's going on. And so it's just, I can't fully root for them at this point. So I just want the pretty boys to just win.
Kira is truly death to all of their allies, right? Like, Kira is much like one of the primary reasons that Chelsea went home. Then Kira buddied up with Sam, and Kira is one of the primary reasons Sam is going home, or at the very least, like, really just greased the wheels, laid the path for the Sam eviction, where
maybe that's their strategy.
Maybe they are the ones that leaked the Corey backdoor stuff in the first place. They are the ones that after that happened, the target flipped from Mark to Kiki, which made it a lot easier for the pretty boys to not be exposed. They inadvertently helped convince everyone that the guys thing was not real anymore. Then this week they continued to tell a story that was different from Sam's story, which really helped make Sam look like a liar. And not only that, all of that, but also, like, obviously anybody that goes up on the block next to Kira is gonna go home. Kira being an ally of yours makes it seem like you're more dangerous in the game just because you have extra numbers, even though them being your ally does not really help you in any way. It really is more of a detriment. People have called Kira the plague that Mackie sent into the house, and I don't know. I feel like a plague, at least to their allies.
That actually makes sense, because you said that Kira is death, And I feel like that, like, death is not neither male nor female. It's like a sort of non-binary as well. So I feel like Kira is the embodiment of Big Brother death within the house. Like, if they get around you, man, just get away. If you see Kira, man, you're going to die within the next week or so.
Honestly, if this all turns out to be part of a larger strategy and that they just gone to someone to get them out the door, I will take back everything I said.
This isn't Survivor. We know this. We know it's not true.
We know this, Melissa. This is really happening. Yes.
I don't know. I don't know.
I like the idea of Kira just kind of like, you know, after Sam leaves, Kira just starts to buddy up to Anthony and he's like, wait a minute.
I was more taken with Matt Lagori's tweet. Like, you think this week is bad? Wait till next week when Kira wins HOH and targets SD and Corey. I'm like, I can totally see that happening.
Yeah, well, good. I want both of those people to go out. So that's all right. Fine.
Well, some other storylines of what's happening this week. Adam is obviously not happy about the events of the week. We saw him in the episode punching the boxes. I was annoyed. Like, the most amount of, like, in Pretty Boy Alliance drama that we've seen on the show so far was not on the feeds, because that competition lasted 15 minutes and there were hours after the HOH comp that weren't on the feeds. And so we missed all of that, like, serious drama. And so there was a little bit of drama when they sort of found out that Sam was probably going to be the backdoor target, but a lot less so than we saw on the episode. And he's kind of come around to, all right, at least I got her to jury. You know, it's been inevitable that this is going to happen at some point. And the Pretty Boys have really been pumping him up with, you know, we're going to be legends. You know, people are going to be talking about this alliance for years to come, just like we talk about the Brigade. And so he's,
I mean, where's the lie?
Yeah.
I mean, not that this is so amazing to watch, but it, I mean, we will look back on this and go, my God, that was a steamroll. You know, like, that was some amazing gameplay from a few people who just totally ran circles around everybody else. At this point, my only real question, because I do not think that Kira or Este can make any sort of a run at this whatsoever. I mean, they just cannot. It's more a question of, can Anthony take it home? That's what I want to see. Can Anthony take it home?
I feel like with Derek.
Yeah. Can he? Does he? He already has his eyes on his Victoria with Kira, and he has Cody. Corey. Yeah, his Cody with Dane. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I do feel like that. It. Can he finish the story? That's what I want to see at this point. If he doesn't, I'll be disappointed. Because
Corey is his beast mode cowboy. Oh my God, yeah. It's so perfect.
I feel like
that's pretty apt.
Yeah. All right. So we also had Kira over the course of the week gravitating toward Anthony. So maybe Anthony is the next victim. Hey, just saying.
Oh. Uh-oh.
Anthony. Yes, Anthony has also worked on separating the Damien and Corey alliance. Now, we've talked about how for the last couple of weeks, the Damien-Corey connection has been one of the very few that has been outside of the Pretty Boy influence. No longer the case. Anthony has really worked hard to make sure that Corey does not trust Damien as much. And so that relationship has been splintering away. So that's some of the work that he's doing there.
Really great work on his part to do that. To, you know, like, we're not even through the veto ceremony. I don't think the veto had even been played yet when he was already planting seeds about Damien.
Yeah. And he's also been pushing for Esty or Damien to be the next people targeted next week. So he, if he has anything to do with it, Esty or Damien will be the people leaving next week. Mark has been spending more time getting closer to Corey, you know, using Anthony's influence to get closer, having Anthony put in a good word for him. So Mark has been working on that. He's also been, again, really just playing up to each member of the Pretty Boys, giving them what they want. He's like, you should have seen him today on the feeds. He's like aggressive around Anthony, like, you know, Sam needs to go. She didn't keep me safe. And Adam's like, well, she made a deal. He's like, deal schmeal. I don't even care. Like, that's Mark being aggressive, but Anthony loves it. Anthony eats it up. But then when he's alone with Adam, it's another story. It's like, hey man, hey buddy, I get it. And when he's with Dane, he's a different guy too. And so Mark spending more time this week, again, sort of like individually working on the Pretty Boys. And then We also had Dane. I'm going to bring this up on the morning update tomorrow morning, but this just like cracked me up today. Dane, who has been increasingly just like grumpy as the season has progressed. Like, I think Dane is the kind of person, the more control he gets, the more like he gets if he doesn't have control. And so Dane was just like hanging out in the bathroom by himself. And production called him on his mic because it was making a bunch of noise. Dane, fix your microphone. And he's like, I wasn't even talking. Why are you going to sewer me like that, production? I wasn't even talking. And like over the next like 2 minutes, he just kept complaining after like sewer. God. And then, and then production goes, Dane, stop that. And he's like, like, and he was like mad and confused, but he was like, oh, I can't say anything else. It was very, very funny.
He's like, what should I say now? He's losing his mind. Oh, my God. He's such a, I agree with the chat. They're like, he's such a baby. That's exactly what I think of when I think of Dane. He's like a child, you know, a complimenting child, but a child nonetheless.
He starts like unbuttoning his shirt. He's like, can I take my shirt off? Oh, God. You can tell me to stop. So that was what was going on there. All right. So let's talk about the state of the house here. We have the pretty boys and that's it. The pretty boys have successfully, I think, eaten everything else up. And they are now the structure of the house. Adam, Dane, Anthony, and Mark. Now, within the pretty boys, you do have some groups. You've got Anthony and Dane. They're the truest final two, I think, that exists. They are loyal to each other. They talk to each other a lot more than the rest of them. They are a tight duo there. There's also Anthony and Mark. They talk a lot. They, you know, Mark is working with Anthony to get in closer with Corey. Mark is saying to Anthony, yeah, Corey, well, we can keep Corey. Whereas Dane and Adam are sort of more anti-Corey. So they have a good relationship there. Adam and Mark have always had a thing where Mark is kind of the one guy that's like, hey buddy, I get it, I know why you want to keep Sam and all this stuff. And then Adam and Dane have recently started to rekindle what they have, because now that Sam is looking like she is going to be out of the way, they're starting to talk about final two again. They're starting to talk about, hey, I would vote for you if you were in the final two and I were in jury. And so you know, lots of circling relationships there in the pretty boys.
Yes, I'm sorry. I was reading something from Stacked. She says, not after today, Anthony was complaining to Mark about Dane and Adam being rats trying to get Corey out. So yes. I don't know how much of that is true, but I mean, you know, like paranoia is the best, is our friend. I will say that this cast is so terrible. Like after the veto ceremony, we got no good feeds whatsoever. At least if it's a boring season, like as far as strategy wise, I at least want some entertaining characters. And we don't even have that. Like, boy, did they like lay a rotten egg this time.
To be clear, when I talk about the pairs, they're always trash talking the other two, right? He's planting seeds with Mark is eating that up. I'm sure Mark will use that against Anthony later down the road. You know, when Anthony and Dane are talking, it's like, oh, Adam's the worst. When Adam and Dane are talking, it's you know, Mark is useless and Anthony is pushy.
That's the thing I was wondering if the other three might have thought about, because, you know, when they were talking to Adam and, you know, Adam was wondering what was going to happen and they were all playing dumb, like, you know, oh, we don't know what's going to happen with Corey. She may nominate Sam. She may not. Don't worry about it. You know, that kind of thing. Like, we're pretty boys. We're legends. They all knew what was really going to happen. You have to think, if these guys that I'm sitting with are doing that to him, how much of that is being done to me when I'm asking them questions? So it's like the thing you talked about with Bruno, as far as, you know, saying, practicing, changing the conversation when somebody walks into a room, the person that you're with then sees you do that. They're going to be amazed and grateful for it at the time, but moving forward, they're going to look at you like, are you doing that? The next time they walk into a room and you suddenly are still talking about something random, you know what I mean? Like bananas or football or whatever.
I think part of what makes the formula so successful is that it, like, the self-preservation, the self-interest really overrides any slights that you might feel for a large portion of the game, where it's like, as pissed as Adam might be, or as suspicious as Mark might be, to actually go against them doesn't really make sense for you, because they're a safety net. They keep you in the game until longer. However, once you start to get toward the end, I do think that the Brigade was kind of an anomaly in the sense that they didn't turn against each other. And there's, you know, there's potential that they might have if given the opportunity. So I do think that that's where we're going to see more of the action play out. And that's kind of what I was talking about in the beginning of this podcast, where normally the lull is toward the end of the game, once, you know, all the moves have been made and the only people left are the people like just kind of waiting to get to the end. This is kind of a reversed situation where the lull is happening now, where they're getting out all of the extra pieces, and then the real fight is going to come down toward the end, final six, final five, or when these moves are going to be made, I think. So it'll be interesting to see how that happens. Now, the Pretty Boys do have a lot of influence around the house. They're basically just a lot of pairs in the house, and almost all of them are touched in some way by the Pretty Boys and their influence. Anthony and Corey, they're a tight pair. Anthony and Kira are becoming a kind of a pair. Adam, Kira, and Sam are still a little bit of a trio, but that's obviously getting split up pretty soon, and it'll become, I think, just a relationship between Adam and Kira, though who knows how long that can last without Sam there.
That doesn't hold any water to me. I mean, I feel like Sam was the glue between that relationship.
Yes, especially with Kira gravitating toward Anthony. Dane and Esty are obviously still a bit of a duo. Then you also have Dane and Damien. who have a bit of a relationship. I think Dane is one of the people protecting Damien the most, apart from actually Adam, who I think is protecting Damien more than anyone, despite being the lowest on Damien's list of people. Then you have Damien and Esty. Now, they have sort of become the only duo that is not in some way, you know, influenced by the Pretty Boys. But of course, Esty is basically Dane's puppet at this point, so doesn't really count. Then you also have Damien and Corey. Their relationship, as I've talked about, has been fractured, so I don't know if they will eventually come back together, but for right now, the trust is broken. You've got Damien and Mark, but that trust is also not really there. Mark remembers that Damien would have voted him out last week if given the opportunity, but they still have kind of a good relationship moving forward, at least from Damien's perspective, I think. And then Corey and Mark are starting to become more of a thing. So really, again, lots of just pairings off. And the Pretty Boys just having control through those pairs throughout the entire house, Melissa.
Yeah, it's, you know, that's why I'm kind of just getting, I've said this a few times in this podcast, but I'm really over the external people, and I just would like to get to the actual game where the people who know what's going on in the game can go against each other and just actually compete. So this stuff's boring to me, where we just are going to pick off each person one by one and like, ooh, who gets to keep their person 1 week longer? Like, it's just so boring to me. So I'm over it, and I'm excited to get these people out the door.
All right. Anything else you want to bring up before we start the stock watch?
I'm just like, continue to go back to the fact that, you know, Adam was the one who had this idea of a brigade style alliance with four guys. And we're going to be down to eight people after this week. Half the house is made up of Pretty Boys at this point. That is amazing to me. You know, people always complain about this, that, you know, why do we always ask the women? Are you going to be a part of a girls' alliance? Is that something that you would have in mind? But we've seen like this guys thing work like three different times, like between, you know, Derek, Cody, Beast Mode, and Frankie. And obviously the Brigade, and now, and yet I've never seen the women do something like this, where they're just like running circles around the guys and working as a group of three, four, or five people. That would be really awesome to see. We saw maybe a little bit, I guess, on Celebrity Big Brother, where the women were running things, but that doesn't really count to me. I want to see it on the main show. Melissa, why is that? You're a woman. Tell me.
I have no idea. I wish it would happen. I mean, the closest we've gotten is the Ball Smashers, but I don't think they were like a successful women's alliance, but they weren't running the house. It was
one
two
side of the
house. Sides. Yeah. So like, it's not like they knew what was going on. They were controlling everybody or anything like that. So I have no idea why girls don't do this strategy. I would love to see it. I don't think it's impossible for girls to do this strategy, because basically the strategy just consists of the Ball Smashers Alliance if they then each paired off with their own person. And if they had done that, then maybe this would have been a different story. Who knows? But I don't think it's impossible, and I'd love to see it happen. I don't know why it hasn't happened that way so far. And to be fair, I feel like the Brigade was like the main successful guys alliance, and now this one. So I don't think it's like, oh, every season there's this exact scenario happening, why can't the girls get it together? I think it's that there are two separate situations where it has happened with guys. And, you know, maybe we'll see this. Maybe we'll start seeing this more and more often.
I think that's true.
That's the whole thing.
BB16, though, I mean, I know that Christine was there, but she was always such an add-on. Like, she
is not,
like,
part of it at all. No,
yeah,
way.
Exactly. I mean, like, she was just, like, brought in, you know, like, I think she even had a quote in the episode, like, I happened to be there, you know, in the right place at the right time to be asked to be part of the alliance. Maybe that was the bomb squad. I can't remember which way. But
she's part of the detonators.
Yeah, exactly. Detonators. Thank you. I couldn't remember that.
But, like, she was lucky to get into the bomb squad, but she was a part of the detonators because of her position in the bomb squad. So I don't qualify the detonators as an all male thing, and I don't think they intended it to be either.
I guess I do, because, like, Christine to me, like I said, was lucky to be a part of it, and Victoria was just a piece being moved around the board by other people. So
I
think Christine was too.
Yeah,
I think she was just being moved around the board. I don't think Christine had any, like, I think that was a situation where it was started initially because they wanted strong guys in the alliance, like Devin and Caleb. They were all about that sort of thing, and they just kind of had to, like, feed into that. And plus, like, the girls that season were super weak, so, like, what else were they gonna do?
Yeah, I think Christine was lucky to be pulled into the bomb squad, but when they chose the numbers for the detonators, you know, she was an intentional addition. It wasn't, I don't think it was meant to be an all guys thing. And when it comes to the all guys alliance, I it's been tried a lot of times, and it's failed way more often than it succeeded. The only time it's ever really succeeded was the Brigade, and with the Pretty Boys, it was not only directly inspired by the Brigade, but basically copied word for word from the Brigade. And so I don't think this was like a natural formation. I think this was like a copycat killing. You know what I mean? Like, I think that this was, just taken from the Brigade, which happened to be an all guys thing. So I don't think it's really a gender thing. I think that if Chelsea had come into the game being like, hey, I love the show, I watched season 12, I saw what the Brigade did, I really want to do that, but with women, I think we would see that probably, I think it would have just as much of a chance of succeeding as the guy thing. And I think that it's probably, you know, like a coincidence that the Brigade happened to be the one alliance that succeeded. And so therefore now it's being copied. And so, you know, maybe we'll see more often the males try to attempt this because that's what they've seen. But who knows?
Go ahead.
I also think it's an issue for women because, as Brock Tree points out in the chat, that it also has to do with winning comps. And a lot of the times in the beginning, the comps are won by guys. And so it makes it easier to keep power or get power by when you're constantly winning competitions. Whereas with women, I think it's harder to win the comps in the beginning, and then it gets easier as it gets towards more logic and like trivia competitions, unless you're casting, like, you know, female power athletes and stuff, you know.
Yeah. Really quickly, we're talking about the state of the house. It's amazing to me that the one season where we really, like, I don't want to say we need a twist, but, you know, I at this point I don't think we need a twist, because I don't feel like I'd rather the people who are in control win the game because they played the best. We needed a twist like 3 or 4 weeks ago, and they gave us one, but it was such a, you know, silent nothing that we ended up having the exact same house that we ended up with before, kind of like the Shuffle and Survivor All-Stars, where they switched and they ended up on the exact same tribes, but in opposite places. I don't know. I'm just like, I'm bummed about that. Like, there have been other seasons of Big Brother where we didn't need a twist, and they really screwed things up for people who were really playing great games and playing awesome shit. And this time we have this, and I know production hates it, and there's nothing around the corner. I didn't think there's going to be a triple. I think it's just regular double.
Well, that's the thing too, where it's like we suffer through so many twists that go in directions we don't want them to, that screw up the season. I mean, season 3 screwed up by twists, season 4 screwed up by twists, you know, season 5 some people would say was screwed up by a twist, and season 6 was well, good season, but there were definitely reasons that we didn't like some of the twists, and but like the one through line is like, but at least they prevent steamrolls, right? At least in a bad situation, they can turn things around. Not the case. This is the one scenario where the twists are supposed to actually not screw things up, but they didn't help. So we've been suffering through them all this time just for nothing to happen in this season.
Oh,
so
they let us vote on something. They let us vote on a bed for a day. I'm still not
cool.
Over that.
Cool. So fun.
You could have let, like, give us the HOH, man. Let us put two people up. Then we'll show them how we feel about the Pretty Boys and their, you know, legend status. Mm. Larissa, Dane, Anthony, you are nominated for eviction by Canada. Thank you very much. Like, oh, God. It was
so yeah. Fun. And I think it just goes to show these twists. They're not well thought out enough. They, you know, they don't need to not ever do twists. But if you do twists, you need to have them more balanced. Think about them some more. I don't think it's a coincidence that if you think about steamrolled seasons, literally like all of them took place in the twist era. I do not think that's a coincidence. Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And we're back. So let's get back to the show. So let's get to the Stockwatch. Time to rate these players. So I sent out a form, a survey earlier today that the audience got to vote on, to vote for each player 1 out of 10, how they think they're playing the game this week. And we are also going to give our own ratings as we move along the players here. So we're going to start with Corey, our HOH. Last week.
Oh, no, go ahead. Sorry, I didn't realize we're starting with Corey. Go ahead.
Last week, Corey received an average of 5. I gave her a 4, as did Melissa. Brent and the audience both gave her 5s, which averaged her out at a 5. Right down in the middle here. So, Brent, let's start with you. You were the highest of us on Corey. How do you feel about her game now?
I feel worse about her game. I don't feel really terrible about her position within the game, but she has no real control over it. Again, it's like you said, Taryn, it was a really great analogy. The like reality goggles that she has on, like it's a virtual reality, the game that she thinks she's playing. Mm-hmm. I gave her a 5 last week, and even though she won HOH and you would think that she's improved, I'm actually going to give her a 3 this week. She just doesn't deserve anything more. She, again, Taryn also pointed out that she is believing, she's choosing to believe that one side is telling her the truth and one side is not, when in reality, it's a game. Everybody is lying to you. That's the thing that I don't understand about many of these people in the house. A lot of them don't have any idea what some of these people are doing or what their real true intentions are. It's like Aubrey on Survivor with Victoria, where she's like, oh, wow, she's been playing the game the entire time. You think they just got onto a show and that they're not playing the game? Like, assume everyone is playing the hardest that they can possibly play unless you're shown otherwise. And I feel like that many of these people have not been shown that. So Corey, to just like, I don't want to say she's assuming, but I do feel like that she's sort of discounting some people within the house and what they might be up to and just accepting them at face value. Don't do that. Play harder than that. And I really wish she had made a different move this week in going with Adam and Dane, but you know, Anthony, he's just a really strong presence, and I feel like that Corey's rating going down is evident by, I will spoiler, Anthony's rating going up. I mean, they're just, he's got control over her and there's no two ways about it. So it's a 3.
All right, Melissa.
Yeah, I'm giving her a 3 as well. You'd think, like Brent said, you'd think we'd rate her higher because she won HOH, but I think she's making moves that are not right for her game and instead are right for Anthony's game. And she has no idea that this is, that that's what she's doing. She thinks she's doing stuff of her own accord and on her own volition, and she's not. And, you know, it's frustrating to see that happen because I really did think she was stronger than that, but she's not. So she gets a 3.
Yeah, I gotta say, I'm really considering a 2 for Corey. I don't like her position. Really, the one thing she has going for her is that Anthony is protecting her and wants to get her to the final 5. However, Adam and Dane do not share that view, at least right now. They would like her to go as soon as possible because she is the biggest threat, competition-wise. She's the only other person that has any competition wins. And because Adam and Dane are a lot more likely to win the competitions, Corey is really relying on Anthony's influence over Adam and Dane to protect her, or she could win a veto. And while I do think that Anthony has a lot of influence and that he could protect Corey, I think it's a hard sell, especially if, you know, if Dane wins, he's not going after Esty. Then he can target Damien or Kira or Corey. And I know that that Anthony will be pushing Damien and maybe he can make Damien happen, but it's going to be a week to week thing. And even if Corey does make it to final 5, even if she makes it to final 4, I don't know if she can beat the guys in these question competitions. I don't know if she's up on her days as well as she should be. So, she wasn't even in the house for 6 of those days. So I don't love her chances. And I do think I'm going to go with a 2 for Corey. I think she's a great woman, but, you know, that's what I got to do.
Listen, I would have given her a 2 as well, if not for the fact that she's under the wing of the most powerful person in the house, who has shown consistently that he can always get his way. So unless that changes, that's why I gave her an extra bump.
Yeah, that's same here. It's because she's with Anthony and I feel like Anthony could get his way no matter what the situation. So if he wants her to stay, she'll stay. And I do think he wants her to stay. So I that's the only reason. If she was working with Dana, working with Adam, or working with Mark, I'd be like, no.
And I feel that too. And if I thought that she could beat Anthony in the final 2, like for sure, then maybe I'd give her a 3, but I don't think that's necessarily the case either. So it's a hard road. It's a hard road for Corey to win this game at this point, I think, especially having done this move. I think it really just destroys her end game chances because it's not her move and everyone knows it except for Corey. And so to get credit in the end, it's going to be tough.
Ooh, that's tough. Yeah.
So the audience, I was actually surprised, has gone back and forth. It's been a very close vote between a 3 and 4 for Corey, but it has just shifted over the line to a 4 for Corey this week. So that's going to be the audience rating for Corey. I think a little bit high, personally. Obviously, I gave her 2. But that's going to average Corey's rating out at a 3. I think that would have been the case no matter what. So there you go. Corey has gone down from a 5 to a 3. If you bought Corey shares, oof, that's rough. It's rough for you.
Who did that?
You'd think again, like winning the HOH. There you go. Not the case. All right, let's move on to Esty. On the block this week, I gave her a 5. Brent gave her a 5. Melissa in the audience gave her 4s last week, which averaged her out to a 5. She's been really hanging in there as, you know, one of the highest rated side pieces of all the side pieces, I think, largely because of her status as sort of the, you know, she's not a threat. And she had Kiki, who was a target over her. This week, she could have been going home if this veto was won by, you know, somebody that was not Dane. And she very well could be going home next week. She's a big target for Anthony, who, as we've talked about, is the most influential player in the house. So I think it's time that it's not looking good for Esty. Esty needed to be good with Anthony. She is not good with Anthony. Anthony is trying to target her. I do think she has some chance to slip by, but it's just really starting to look bad. So I am going to go down personally from my 5 down to a 3. I think this week was very bad for Esty, and it's not looking good, Brent. What do you think?
I went down even further. I gave her a 2. So we switched as far as a Corey and Esty, who we think is playing a worse game right now. I think she's playing worse actually than Corey. Because I think ironically the best thing for Esty is her best alliance partner being evicted, because if she's on the block with Dane, I feel like she goes and Dane stays based on the votes of the boys. But if Dane were somehow evicted, she could become like a Victoria. She could be something that could be used by somebody else, get to the end, and who knows how a jury's feeling at the end. So I feel like what needs to happen is what she probably doesn't want to happen, and that's Dane going home. And it seems, anathema to good gameplay to get your closest alliance partner evicted. But it's also, you have to keep in mind that that person has the loyalties of more people in the house. And also, Dane has shown reason for her to distrust him. So, but she's never going to get rid of him if she happened to win HOH. So, yeah, it's a 2.
Melissa.
Yeah, I'm going to give her a 3. Same reasons you guys said. I felt better about her last week because I felt like she was one of the few side pieces that actually had some allies outside of the pretty boys, and that there was just the advantage of having a pretty boy protect you. But now that Esty's gone, Kiki, now that Kiki's gone, it just is not, I don't think it's looking good for her. So yeah, I'm going to give her a 3. And I also don't feel confident about her gameplay going forward. I don't think she's good. And so I don't think she's going to be able to get herself out of any like sticky situation.
I don't even think she could win a jury vote. I don't think anybody would vote for her.
Yeah. So, I mean, there you go.
I will say she did a good job convincing Corey, sticking to the story and swearing, on her father. Like, Corey believed Esty, truly believed Esty. Esty continues to be a good liar, but just not putting that into good use.
That's what I was going to say, is I do think she's good at lying, but yes. I don't think that she knows what to do with that. I think that she just makes the wrong moves and doesn't know what to do with her game. I just don't think she knows where she is or how to play.
Yes. So the audience agrees with Melissa and myself. The audience gave Esty a 3 out of 10. Esty also going to drop from a 5 to a 3 if you bought Esty shares. I'm sorry, you just lost some money there. I think this really is going to show, too, that this week is a big turning point for the Pretty Boys. They have really just cemented the fact that they control this game. They have always controlled the game, but at this point in time, controlling Corey's HOH in the way that they did and the way that this week has played out, it's looking so much more difficult for these side players to be able to overcome this. This is really the turning point, the tipping point, and now it's all downhill for the Pretty Boys. It's going to be so much easier for them to get through, because just the way that the house is set up, the Pretty Boys have chosen the perfect targets to send out along the way, and now they're just stuck with all of these people who, even if they wanted to make a move, they couldn't, because there's nowhere to turn. And I think that's reflecting in the ratings here for these other people. So let's move on to Sam. Sam, who last week had a 4. I believe that was the highest or the second highest. Yes.
Did she ever make it up to a 5?
Sam was a 2, then a 4, then a 3, then a 4. So she's always been hanging on. Just hanging on here. I gave her a 4 last week. I think that was the highest rating I'd ever given her, right? You know, it's the pride before the fall. Brent was at a 3. Melissa and the audience were both at 4s. So Brent, I think I saw you starting to prepare something. I don't know what you have ready for this one. What do you think about Sam?
I'm not going to give her the 1.
Okay.
I'm going to give her a 2. I feel like that she's made some obvious errors, not only this week, but last week. It's really disgusting to see, because I really had high hopes for her. I do not believe that a 1 is warranted in this case, because I do think that there's a path for Esty to go home. It's not a very big one, but it involves getting Anthony paranoid about Esty and her trying to round up the girls. And I feel like that would probably be the way to go. On the other hand, I feel like he feels like Esty is so pathetic at competitions that he can just take care of that next week. I feel like that's where Anthony is at right now, and he has to get rid of Sam. I mean, like, even Adam was talking about, like, let's bring her in here and let's get her to swear on something. And, you know, Mark's like, I wouldn't even take that. You know, who cares? Like, I mean, I feel like there really is no path for her. And so you're asking, well, why doesn't she deserve a one? And I guess I'm having trouble with it, because I do feel in some ways she deserves a one, because based on her position within the house, it's certainly a one. But I feel like her gameplay is a little bit better than that. Not by much, though. And she has shown an unwillingness to throw Adam under the bus when she probably could have gotten him up there. I mean, I think a Dane Adam nomination set would have been possible. Of course, then it probably would have just ended up as Adam and Sam. But I feel like Adam is somebody that she could have she could have thrown him under the bus and she could have saved herself. But they could never get their story straight. And she was even complaining earlier today that, you know, oh, you're tanking my game. And the thing is, they're both kind of true. Like, he is kind of tanking her game, but also he has been saving her game. And the boys have been saving her. Like, I mean, they wanted her out like week two, and somehow she made it to jury. She doesn't realize how lucky she is to make jury.
And I think she's going to blame Adam coming out of the house. Like, he ruined her game. But I really do think that, like, I mean, she wouldn't have even been that far if not for Adam and his connections to a very large extent. And, like, maybe she wouldn't have been targeted as much, but I don't know. Apparently she made a huge target of herself in that first week, getting into arguments with Lauren and then, you know, just the way that went down, she was a big target out of that week. So, you know, I do think that she has been protected by Adam in a lot of ways. So I don't think it's as easy as to just say, oh, if only Adam hadn't been there. Cause I don't think that's necessarily the case. Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with what you guys are saying. I don't want to give her a one, because I do think that out of all the side pieces, she's playing the best game, or not playing the best game, but has the best read on the game. And that if she wasn't going home this week, I could see her turning it around and going far. So I don't want to give her a one. I'd like to give her a three, but I just don't think that's going to happen, because no. The likelihood is she's going home this week. There's just a slim chance that she might stay, which, you know, hopefully she does, because I'd really like it. But, you know, whatever. I'm going to give her a two.
Yes, I'm also going to give her a two. I think that this certainly could be a one, in the sense that she's just so dead to rights here. But I do think she has outs, and I think those outs are slightly possible. I think that if she worked on Adam enough and convinced him to turn on the pretty boys, and he just spewed all of that information out, then she'd have a shot, but not very likely at all. But, you know, I don't think she's quite as dead as, you know, and I don't think she's quite either as dead or as bad at the game as both Mackie and Kiki were at this point in the week. So I'm going to go with a two. And the audience, in a very, very close vote, did also go with a two for Sam. So it's going to be straight twos for Sam. Sam, who has been historically a great buy in the stock watch, because she has always been so close to being evicted and then has just been surviving week after week. So has really given a lot of people a lot of money. But this week, the chickens finally came home to roost, and it's no good. So let's move on to Adam. Last week, he averaged out at a six. I gave him a seven, and Melissa, Brent, and the audience all gave him sixes. Historically, Adam has been slowly on the rise. He started as a four, and then worked his way up to a five, and then last week, finally, a six. I have always been the highest on Adam, so we'll see if that continues here. Melissa, how do you feel about Adam?
I feel about the same with Adam, and I think it's because I like his position. There are two things that are going through my mind, which is that his side piece is going home, which I think is a bad thing for him, but also a good thing for him, because this whole time they've been like, we've got to get Sam out. We've got to get Sam out. We've got to get Sam out. And that's been like this, you know, this thing that's just been hovering over Adam with his alliance this whole time. But I think that possibly now that she's leaving, they won't be so set on him anymore. And now they'll be focused on, you know, oh, SD and Dane, they're too close, whatever. And just starting to go after other people. So I think that Adam will have less of a target on his back once Sam is gone, but at the same time, he won't have that partner. So I'm a little torn, but I'm inclined to think that his position goes down, but then comes back up. So I'm just going to stick with my six.
All right, Brent.
Yeah, I wanted to give him a higher score again this week. I even wrote down 7 last night when I was doing these, but based on what I've seen today, I he gets pissed off the boys a little bit with some of his rants. And it does seem like he has a bit of a temper. And I don't know if once Sam goes, if that will not be a thing anymore. But for right now, I'm going to give him a 6. And it really does pain me because I feel like that he is deserving of a better score. And I guess this is a good score. I mean, 6 is a good score considering I've handed out a bunch of 2s and 3s up to this point. But I do also feel like he is in some ways also a passenger and not a pilot, as people were correcting me in the chat, the survivor quote from this week's tribal council. I do feel like he's a bit of a passenger as well, because although he does know where everything is at in terms of the pretty boys, he doesn't really have control over any of these people. Nobody looks to Adam for advice on what to do. He's just somebody who's a part of the group. So I feel like it's a 6. I don't know if you agree with me, Taryn.
I don't, because I'm going to stick with my 7 for Adam. Actually, I think that in some ways he's gone down. He's lost his shield, but in a lot of other ways, doesn't need that shield anymore. As I talked about, the pretty boys have taken firm control of the game. I don't think Adam needs that shield. I think that Adam will stay up if he's up on the block against basically anyone except for another pretty boy, but there's nobody left that will put him up next to another pretty boy. And so Adam, I don't think, needs Sam anymore. And now with Sam gone, that barrier that he's always had to get in with the pretty boys and make more individual relationships with them is gone. And we're already seeing him bond more with Dane again. And we're already seeing him bond more with Mark again. And so I think that now that Sam is gone, he's going to focus more on his relationships within the pretty boys at just the right time as they take control of the game. And I think they're probably not going to think about stabbing him in the back until, you know, at least final 5, you know? So I do think that he's back in a pretty good spot. And I think that he is going to make Dane feel comfortable. And if he makes Dane feel comfortable, Dane will try to stick up for him with Anthony if Dane feels like he's in the middle between those two. And I do think that Adam is once again in a pretty good spot. He's also very good at competitions. And so if he does manage to get to the final 5, final 4, I think Adam could definitely be somebody that just takes home the win. And I also think that he is in some ways the most likable of the pretty boys, even within the house, is in some ways the most respectable one. You know, you could say that's definitely more true of Anthony right now, but I don't know how people will respond to Anthony when they find out all of what he's been doing. So I'm not entirely sure about that. Whereas Adam, I think, has been a bit more of an open book. There's less to expose about Adam. Everyone already kind of knew that Adam was working with Dane. Everyone kind of knew what Adam was up to. And he's just a little more genuine when he talks to you. And so I think that Adam might have an easier time winning in the final 2 if that's the case, if he's up against somebody that people are more mad at. So I don't think that he's the best positioned or the best player of the pretty boys, but I do think he's still in a pretty good spot. So I'm going to stick with my 7. That's just how I see it. The audience,
that's fair.
The audience, not as high on Adam as they were last week. The audience has gone down to a 5 for Adam. So he's going to stick there at a 6 average, but we'll see. We'll see how this continues. So let's move on to Dane. Dane, who last week had a 6. I gave him a 7. Melissa gave him a 7. The audience a 6. Brent gave Dane a 4, which tanked his average down to a 6 total. Dane has consistently gotten some decent ratings. The week prior, he had gotten 7s from the LFC, but Brent was really down on Dane's game last week. We'll see if that changes. This week, I feel like Dane's game has continued to rise. I've gone up on Dane almost every week from the beginning, and this week is not going to change that. I think for all of his, you know, blustering about this being the most well-executed plan in Big Brother Canada history, it's up there. It really is. And he really did do a really good job at coordinating the stories, getting his story straight, doing what he needed to do, convincing Corey to not take him down. This really should have been his time to be in trouble, and he's not. He's not even remotely in trouble. And now he's in a position where he's basically untouchable because he's going to go up next to Esty or somebody else, and they will go home first. And he is also in good with Adam, with Anthony. He's in a great spot. He's great at competitions. He showed that again with the veto wins. So for me, it's an 8 for Dane. I really think highly of his game here. Melissa, what do you think?
I don't want to give him a good score. I don't know. I don't feel great about the idea that he was like, yeah, I'm gonna be put on the block this week. Like, I just feel like the fact that Esty's on the block, he's just letting her be there, and he was on the block, and if he hadn't won the veto, he'd be in danger. And I just feel like I just don't feel good about him this week, as I guess as good as I did last week. But at the same time, none of that really mattered. He's fine. He is in a good position now. Like, if we're talking, like, if we had talked with a couple, you know, days ago, I would have been like, Dane's doing terribly. He's not playing this well at all. And now I just feel like it's different. So this is so hard, because I feel like I'm also comparing this to like previous seasons and thinking about like, okay, who was an eight previously, who was a nine, who was a seven or whatever. And I don't feel like he fits up there, but I guess I'm just going to have to give him an eight as well. Cause I gave him a seven last week, and I don't feel comfortable going down. At the same time, I do think he's in a better position now that Adam is losing his side piece. So yeah, I guess I got to give him a seven.
All right, Brent, last week your rating was half of what we're giving Dane this week. What do you think about Dane's game this week? Have you gone up?
I have. Of course I've gone up. He's done really, really well this week. And I do feel in some ways that maybe we were both both of our decisions were ratified, because you guys felt really good about his game going into last week, and he was able to come out of it looking great. On the other hand, I do feel like there were avenues for him to be in danger. There were things that could happen where he could have ended up. People were talking about targeting him. His team had just been sewered by Kiki, you know, walking out the door. So I feel like something bad could have happened, but it didn't. And he played it so well. And, you know, volunteering to go up on the block to earn trust with somebody and continuing to make strides with Adam, even though he fought with Adam. Like, they're like a week ago, like, he was wanting Adam out, or he's, you know, pissed at Adam. And now I do feel like that they are coming to some sort of gentleman's agreement. So I'm going to give him a seven. I gave him a four last week. I'm going to give him a seven. I'm back in the land of reality now, where I'm not wishing it to happen. This is what's really happening. But it's amazing to me that somebody who's this good at competitions is virtually untouchable within the house. I mean, I don't see any way that he could possibly go home. Like, if it's him and Esty up on the block, they're going to send home Esty, and they're freaking crazy. Like, are you really going to, you're really going to keep this guy? Like, he could totally blow you out of the water. But I don't know. We'll see. I still feel like he's not going to win this season, but he might.
He might. The audience has not risen on Dane. They're going to stick with their six from last week. Not feeling Dane as much as we are, I guess. I think that is going to keep Dane down at a seven. So instead of Brent keeping his rating down, it's going to be the audience this time. Really, anti-Dane. Somebody's always keeping Dane down, taking his teeth.
Did you see that picture of him sitting next to his teeth? Oh my God.
Yeah.
That was so great. Melissa, did you see this? Mm-hmm. Like, there's a picture of him going on Twitter where, like, he took out his teeth and he put it on the chair next to him. So it's like him and his teeth sitting side by side. His teeth got their own chair.
I'm glad I did not see that.
Yeah.
They're probably so dirty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about Mark. Mark this week. Brent, how do you feel about Mark?
I feel much better about Mark. I gave him a five last week, and there were things not to like about Mark's game last week. But this week, I do feel like, again, like, he's never on the updates. But on the other hand, he's never on the updates. So that's something bad. But I do feel like that he has... I said this before about Josh on BB19. Like, he's a little bit of an idiot, but he's our idiot. I do feel like in some ways people feel like that about Mark. Like, he's a little awkward. He's a little bit socially weird, but we get him. He's ours. You know, he's one of us. And he is protected by the pretty boys. And, you know, I do feel like that it's to his benefit that he has not been able to win a competition, because he would have made the bonehead move of targeting the pretty boys. Ironically, now I do feel like that maybe it might be the time to do that for him. Like, he can't beat Anthony. He can't beat Dane. I do feel like him nominating them would be the best thing for his game. And we were laughing at him a couple weeks ago, but I do feel like now that they're down to eight people, like, he could take, like, you know, Corey and Esty and, you know, Adam, he has a pretty good relationship with Adam, where they can, you know, he can win at the end with those people, but he can't win. He can't beat either Anthony or Dane. So it's a six for me. I'm sorry. I don't mean to drag that out. I gave him a five last week. I give him a six. I almost wanted to give him a seven, but I also feel like, again, he isn't controlling the game. I do feel like in some ways he's also a bit of a passenger, but he just happens to be a part of the car, right. You know? Yeah.
Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm totally in agreement with Brent on this one, and I'm giving him a six.
There you go. I have been pretty consistent. I've been fives, fours, fives with Mark, even when other people were higher on him. But I do think it is time. Mark, I do think does deserve the six from me. And I also considered a seven because I really do think his like, again, now that the pretty boys have taken charge, I don't see Mark going home anytime soon. And that's really great for Mark. I don't think the pretty boys will turn on Mark anytime soon either. I think Mark is almost a lock for final four right now. And he knows his days. He knows his days really well. So if he's able to win these competitions at the final four, that's also great for him. He might be in a spot where he can't win against people, but people might also be bitter. And so, you know, I think he has a really great shot. The thing that's preventing me from giving him the seven is sort of like what Brent said, where it's just like if he was just a little more likable, if he was just a little better socially, a little better, you know, just at all these things, then I'd be a lot higher on him. But I'm going to stick with the six. Mark got a five from the audience. They have gone up from the four, but not quite ready to give Mark a six. They have never given Mark a six. They've only gone up to a five. So he can't win over the audience either. however, this will give Mark a six average rating, which will go up from a five. So Mark was so far Mark and Dane, the only good investments that you could have made last week. Anthony is up next. Anthony, who got straight eights from the LFC and a seven from the audience. Melissa, what do you think about Anthony this week?
Yeah, I'm going to give Anthony a nine. It's my first nine of the season, and I feel really good about his game, especially after this week when he literally controlled the HOH. Corey went into the week. I felt like she had a mind of her own, and now I do not feel that way. So I'm giving him a nine.
There you go. I also went with a nine. I had considered it the previous week. I said, I don't know if Anthony is capable of that. I don't know if he deserves that. But I do. I think he probably does. I don't think I've ever given anyone a nine apart from Tyler. We started with Big Brother 20. And so this is, this is big. But this week was very well executed and it puts Anthony in a very good spot. And so I think he deserves it. I think that he, you know, this is a nine game we're seeing here from Anthony this week, at least. We'll see if it holds, but yeah, I'm getting a nine. Brent?
It's so amazing to watch. It really is. I am so pleased with him. It's not necessarily exciting from a feeds perspective, but it's really amazing to watch from mechanical perspective, all these different pieces he's moving around the board and the relationships that he does and the things that he, like the pickups that he does, where, you know, he, you know, like somebody's pissed and they walk out of the room and he's like, okay, we got to make sure he's putting out fires left and right. I so want to give him a 10. I really do, because I do feel like he's worthy of it. However, there is one place where I feel like he is a little bit lacking, and that is his positioning. Ironically, there is one person within the house that would nominate him, I believe, and Anthony would go home against the other person that person would nominate, and that person is Mark. There are eight people left in the house after this week. Mark, if we go by what he's saying, would nominate Anthony and Dane, and I do believe he should nominate Anthony and Dane. If he nominates Anthony and Dane, Corey and Kira, at this point in time, I think would vote to keep Anthony, but Adam and Esty and Damian would all vote to keep Dane, and Anthony would go home in that instance. So that's one reason I don't think he is worthy of a 10, because there is an avenue for him to go home. But even then, I do feel like he could possibly switch over Damian's vote or Adam's vote. I have more faith in Anthony than I do in anybody else. I mean, I'm so calm when it comes to Anthony. He just does not make mistakes. Take that back. He does make mistakes, and he has made mistakes. He's been cocky, and he said things that he shouldn't in the past, but people don't pick up on him. So, I do not grade people based on what other seasons have happened. Within this universe and this game, it's definitely a nine.
Yes. I would also say one of the reasons it's not a 10 for me, apart from the mistakes that he's made, is also I have some concerns with his end game plans. I know that Dane has talked about taking him. I do think Dane would take him, but I don't know that Adam would, and I think that Adam is a big threat there. I don't know that Mark would if Mark was in that position. I don't know what Anthony's plans are there in general, and I don't have any faith that Anthony can win those end game competitions, because as he said, Everyone knows my memory's terrible. My memory's terrible. And it's very true. It's terrible. It's very true.
Well, if we want Anthony to win, then we guess we have to root for Dane. I'm serious. Like, we have to root for Dane to win these competitions, because, you know, like, Anthony's talking about bringing Kira along, and like, I'm like, you got to at least be able to beat somebody. Like, surely he could beat Kira in a competition, but I don't even know about that.
Yes. So that's really the biggest concern for me. And I don't think that Anthony can maintain a 9 rating for me, at least, if this goes unchanged in the next few weeks. This, he needs to secure more people taking him to the final two if he wants to maintain such a high rating. Otherwise, I think he'll start dropping a little bit again. However, the audience gave him a 7 last week, did go up to an 8 this week. That's pretty high praise from the audience. I think the audience might have given Tyler a 9 here or there, but an 8's pretty rare. An 8's usually kind of the cap.
Yeah, especially when they don't like the way the season's going. Like, Anthony is absolutely in control of everything, and the audience is not happy with it. Neither are we really happy with the way the season's gone. But for them to give him an 8, that means that he's doing really awesome.
So there you go. Anthony, another person whose stock has gone up from an 8 to a 9. Let's talk about Kira. Kira, who had a 4 average last week. I gave them a 4. Brent, a 5. Melissa in the audience, also a 4. So let's start with you, Melissa. Where do you feel? How do you feel about Kira this week?
Well, I don't feel great about Kira, but at the same time, I think that I'm totally at a loss for words, because like I am disappointed in the way this week has gone down. But at the same time, I think that I respect Kira's game more than I respect Corey or Essie's. And so I'm going to give Kira a 4.
All right. I gave Kira a 4 last week. I actually did not like what's been happening this week. I feel like their relationship with Adam is going to be, a little, you know, on the outs a little bit. Losing Sam is a big blow to Kira. Kira also pissed Dane off a bit this week. Dane not as high on the idea of taking Kira to the final 5 anymore. In fact, at one point during the week, wanted them gone as soon as next week. So I think that Kira's position has fallen a little bit from last week, and I don't think that their play has really helped them out in that regard. I do think that it's good that they have been bonding with Anthony, that Anthony is looking out for them to some extent, but I think that that locked spot at number 5 has gotten a little shiftier. You know, they're talking about Damian, maybe they're talking about Corey, maybe. And so even just the possibility of other people taking that spot is a huge blow to their game. And so I did go down a little bit. You know, this could go back up depending on how this plays out. But I went down to a 3 this week, Brent.
Yeah, I said that every week that Kira remains in the house, I'm going to go up, but I can't go up this week. I gave Kira a 5 last week. I'm actually going to go down to a 4. I also don't like the way that Kira has played this week. And I do think that in this crazy house with these boys controlling everything, that there is an avenue for Kira to actually be the one that's evicted, sitting on the block next to one of them, even though they absolutely have no business going home whatsoever. Kira is somebody that the more they play, the worse their game gets. And I feel like that is not a great place to be in when you're looking at the stock watch and trying to rate somebody. Like, how are they doing? Well, the more they play, the worse they're in. So stop playing the game. Just stop playing. It's a 4.
All right. The audience went down as well from a 4 to a 3 this week. So a 3 from the audience. I do believe Kira will hang on, just barely hang on to a 4 average.
Well, sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but BB President in the chat is like, and that's worth a 4, and they have a question mark exclamation point at the end of that. Look, bitch, like, the position of the house guest is something that I feel like is more important than the overall way that they're individually playing the game. So Kira, I still like, yes, it's possible that they would actually be evicted next to one of the pretty boys. But when it's like the thing I said about people targeting Sam in the early goings. Like, I mean, are we actually going to do that? Like, even now, the pretty boys haven't owned the fact that Sam is who, like, that they've been behind it. They haven't owned the fact that they're the ones causing it. They had to use Corey as a shield to get Sam up on the block. So I would never ever thought like Dane was going to actually target Sam. Like he would never be able to do that with Adam, someone there. So again, you know, in reality, like we can talk about it in theory, but in reality, I really do not think that when Kira is sitting on the block, you're really going to evict them? Them? I mean, there's no way. Like, they can't win anything. They're terrible. And they have no strategy whatsoever. Why in the hell would you evict them? So, yeah, position is reigns supreme here with me. So that's why it's a 4.
Yeah, well, and that's one of the interesting things about rating the players and you know, how I try to look at it, and I think how it generally tends to play out is, you know, the rating is kind of like, what is their likelihood of winning the game? And what is their likelihood of winning the game? It's a combination of their ability as a player, your faith in them to do well as a player, and also how they're currently positioned in the house. What are their odds of staying week to week? And then what are their odds of winning if they get to the end? There are a lot of different factors that come into it. So sometimes you do get a scenario where I do think that, you know, Sam is probably a better just kind of like player on average than Kira, but because Kira is probably always going to be in a position like they are in this house, that they might be, if you think about it, the better win equity player, right? The person that's more likely to win a game than somebody like Sam, because in some ways they're so bad that they might last and just kind of luck out. And that's kind of how Big Brother works. And that's why it's not always like super easy to just pinpoint exactly how to rate players and judge how good they are at the game, because, you know, being good at the game is more than just one or two things.
Yeah, the BB president says, and I don't know if they eventually agree with me or not, but 1 equals a 0 chance to win the game. 10 is about Dan Gieseling, which is what we pretty much said in the past. And I feel like 4 is about right, like, because I do think that Kira can win the game. I do feel like they might be, you know, just kept around by Anthony. Anthony is the one who's the mover and shaker in this crowd. If he wants to keep them around, then they're going to stick around. And if they stick around, who knows what the jury's thinking at the end? Juries are freaking unpredictable, man. So I do feel like the Kira has some win equity here.
Yeah. And honestly, like, being bad at competitions is kind of a good characteristic to have for a lot of different archetypes of the game. So just something to think about. Let's move on to finally Damien. Kira is going to stay put at a 4, but let's talk about Damien. Damien's had kind of a rough week. You know, I was feeling okay. I had started to go down on Damien's score here. He's been going down ever since week 1. Historically, he started with a 6, went down to a 5, last week went down to a 4. And I've gone down 6, 5, 4, 4, and I am going to continue that trend. I'm going to go down to a 3 for Damien. He's continuing to run out of runway in terms of just playing the game. I think that Anthony has turned his eye onto Damien. That's not good. Damien could be leaving as soon as next week, and he's really just completely run out of options, except for some kind of like competition streak or something. He has Adam kind of in his corner, where Adam is saying he wants Damien at Final 5. Dane kind of might want Damien at Final 5, but also not sure about it. Anthony definitely doesn't. Anthony has the most amount of influence. Even his connection with Mark has been hurt by the fact that Mark knew that Damien wanted Kiki to stay over Mark. So I don't hate cute guys. I'm Kentucky. I don't. I love Damien, and I want him to succeed. You know, I've
Sarah,
always
you hate cute guys.
I've always tried. I've
That's
always.
That's why you hate me. Oh my god!
But
it all makes sense.
Yeah. What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do with Damien? It's on this downhill slope here. So, a 3 for me. Melissa, how do you feel about Damien?
Yeah, I was kind of hoping that I'd be able to give Damien a 5 every single week and just be like, he's completely neutral. But yeah, I don't feel like he's really playing. I'm a little disappointed because I did think it was one of those things where his strategy was just to lay low and not make any waves and kind of just make friends with people and then turn it on halfway through. But I feel like, okay, now's the time. Why aren't you doing anything? So, you know, I'm starting to sour on his game a little bit.
Sour or sewer?
Sour. Okay, this sewer thing, I have never heard it in Big Brother US. I only heard it starting last season with Allie.
Yeah. I'm told it's a hockey term.
Is it? Because, yeah, all of a sudden it was like last year, they're like, you're sewering my game. I'm like, what are they talking about? So, yeah, apparently that's a thing. But, yeah, I felt a little disappointed in his game just because I feel like there is none. I think it would be interesting if after Sam goes, if Adam were to buddy up with Damien. I think that could be an interesting combo. Who knows if that's going to happen, but, you know, could be interesting to see. But anyway, that's a sidebar. The rating I'm going to give him is a 4.
There you go. Brent, what do you think?
I gave him a 3 last week. I feel like I was the only one who really saw how bad he was doing. And I really want to give him a 2 this week, but I want to give him a 3 because I feel like there are a couple of escape hatches for him. And the escape hatches are, if they want to keep him around to final 6, final 5, by then, I feel like everybody's side pieces will have had to have gone home. And there could be some paranoia or resentment building up amongst the boys. And the pretty boys I'm talking about, not the boys, just, you know, the pretty boys. And if he can benefit from that, you know, by, you know, somebody like they need a friend and they look to Damien, and Damien is not a lot of things within the Big Brother game, but he is a good social presence. He is somebody that you can talk to. So because of that, I feel like he is not worthy of a 2. It's more like a 3.
There you go. The audience went with a 4 for Damien, finally going down from a 5. It was a close vote, too. Very, very, very close to a 5, but has gone down to a 4. However, that will keep Damien at a 4 average, just barely hanging on before dropping. So those Damien shares, if you've got any, you did not lose any money, but just hanging on. Narbs in the chat correctly noticed that I have ranked the pretty boys here. My ratings here, it's basically 3s across the board, with a 2 for Sam, who's going home, and a 2 for Corey, who I think is in a really bad spot, and it's hard to see her path to the end. And then the rest, I've got Mark at a 6, Adam at a 7, Dane at an 8, and Anthony at a 9. And that's really how I see it. So, That's the ratings here. Really, the best buys were Anthony, who went up, Mark, who went up, Dane, who went up, and Adam stayed the same. So there you go.
I'm doing so bad.
All right. Melissa says she's doing poorly. Melissa, let's talk about what you did in your Stockwatch decisions.
Oh, God.
Let's move over to this.
I doubled down and I just did the wrong thing.
Ooh.
I mean, it's not as bad as it's bad. Never mind. It's bad. I don't even know what to tell you. It's bad.
It's not that bad. It's bad. Yeah.
Yeah, it's bad. I kept everyone. I didn't sell anyone.
Still hasn't sold anything.
I still haven't sold anything, which is totally regrettable. and now I just added more Damien, and that's just such a bad idea.
Well, at least you didn't go down. I mean, you got lucky on that.
You gained some with your Anthony shares. You lost some with your SD shares. You gained some with your Mark shares. You lost some with your Sam shares, and you broke even on all the Damien shares.
I'm just so bad.
Yeah. Well, what are you gonna do?
I'm just so bad. Like, I just can't pull it together. I can't, like, my brain, it just doesn't wrap around it. I'm like, I don't want to sell anyone. I like them. I like my little stocks, my Sam stocks. And then it's like, what have I done? Why did I do that? And like, why didn't I buy more Anthony in the beginning? Why did I keep it at like 2 Anthonys? Why? Like, none of this makes any sense. Like, it's like, past Melissa is like making all these bad choices. I'm looking at it like, what were you thinking? And then present Melissa makes those same bad choices over again. It's like, I don't.
So, Melissa, do you know your total value at the moment? They're asking it in the chat.
I do not.
Looks like net worth is currently at $98. I believe that is the updated net worth for Melissa.
Yes, I asked for that column, by the
yes.
way.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
So, yeah, Melissa, I'd recommend not investing. Personally.
Yeah, no, I will not. It's not my forte. It's not my area of expertise, clearly. So, yeah, it's not going well for me. I mean, the drafting thing, I'm getting a little progressively more and more better, or more and more better. I'm getting better at that. But this stopwatch thing, I still can't seem to get it no matter how we change the rules. I'm just bad no matter what. So, yeah.
Yes. Alexandra says week 5 net worth doesn't mean anything because it will change on Thursday. But we can still see with the up based on the current holdings and the updated prices what it's currently worth, right?
That's the thing I didn't quite understand, Alexandra, because I'm the ratings have been given out, the audience's ratings have been given out, they have their averages, we know what the price is, and we know what as things stand today, what is going to happen. Obviously some things may be offloaded. Like Melissa, I have a suggestion for you. You might want to sell your SAM stock going into Thursday.
Yeah.
Might be a good decision.
It's honestly,
also, I wouldn't buy any SD either.
Yeah, so. Honestly impressive that you haven't lost any shares yet, considering you haven't sold anything.
Yeah. I know. I'm just making good investments and then not knowing what to do with them when they go poorly. So I just hold on to them a little squirrel.
Yeah.
But a stock squirrel.
Speaking of the draft, though. If Sam leaves, Melissa will be down to one player, but that player is going to be Anthony. So, good on that one. Brent has been out of the draft for weeks now.
For weeks, they tell you.
I still have my full team.
Look, I'm telling you, I should get something. It's not possible to be out of the draft by week 4. It's really not.
No, I mean,
Eddie, you should know that I drafted you, Eddie. You should just know that.
Taryn, with his draft, remember he was like, I'm going to get a few guys because at least one of them will stay or whatever. And now they're all staying. It's like, are you serious? And you know what? I blame you, Taryn. The only reason that this Pretty Boys Alliance worked is because you drafted them. And that is on you.
Not my fault. Not my fault.
This season is on you.
You guys chose the women first. That was the problem.
That's true. Yeah, we said, yeah, sure. That's the thing.
Oh, we're the problem draft. Now, huh?
Oh, my God.
Oh,
we
please,
said women were going to rule the roost. Oh, I'm so mad about that. The women were going to rule. Like I said, the guys were really boring and the women were like the movers and shakers. Don't listen to me, really.
We are not the problem here. You need to start drafting people who we all want to win.
Hey, it's been a year since I've won. It's
just 1 year. Remember when you won.
I can't remember when I won.
Sure, there were 3 years before that, but all right. So let's talk about Brent's decisions. We got a hint of it. We'll see just how bad this is for Brent as we move over here. Brent, what did you decide to do?
Well, I was talking with Ligori earlier today, and he was asking me what I felt about Corey's game moving forward. And I'm like, I'm actually looking forward to tonight because everybody who I have owned in the past, their shares have gone up. Like I personally have rated them up. They haven't necessarily gone up. Sometimes they stay the same, but I personally have rated them up. And I felt like that was looking a little riggy. But Corey, there's just no way that you can give her a positive rating. In fact, I wanted to be even worse as far as Corey goes. I wanted to give her a 2. Taryn did give her a 2. Moving into this past week on Thursday, I had 26 shares of Corey. That is the way things stood. And Corey and Mark were both worth $5. What I ended up doing was basically splitting them in half. So I kept half of my... I don't actually remember how many Corey shares I had, but I had...
Looks like you had 22.
22. Sorry, it was 22. That's what I had. But then the price went up, so I gained a little stuff. So I ended up selling some of my Corey shares to buy some Mark shares. So I currently own... 13 shares of Corey and 13 shares of Mark. So I have lost money with Corey. In fact, I lost a lot of money because I own 13 shares and Corey went down from $5 to $3. That's a $2 loss per share. I own 13 of them. That means I lost $26. Oof. But also with Mark, I did gain a dollar because I rebought 13 shares of him. So overall, I lost $13 for the week. And Taryn, I don't have it in front of me, but I'm sure you can see it. What is my net worth?
Currently, net worth is $137.
Excellent. Yes. And obviously, I did. People are wondering, how the hell did you do that, Brent? We get a weekly stipend. So we get $20 every week to spend how we wish. And that combined with me selling some of my Corey shares enabled me to buy 13 shares.
So, basically, the week before you were at 130, you gained 20, lost 13, and now you're at 137.
Yes.
So Exactly. Let's see just how far I have pulled into the lead here. Because I sold everything and went all in on Mark.
Yes.
Yes. I bought all of the Mark that I could. I owned 5 shares of Mark, and I then sold all of my other shares of Corey and Adam, and I bought 24 more shares of Mark, and that left me with $4 left over because Mark shares were 5. So I just decided, hey, I'll just put one in Damien, see where that goes.
I saw that and I was like, because I think your tab was up on the thing earlier today, and I was like, what is that he owns Damien stock and it's just one of them?
Okay, there you go. So because I had thought about going all in on Damien, but I decided Mark, and it was the correct call. So I gained, a lot of money. It's a lot of money. My current net worth right now, $198. So I am. I've got a $61 lead on Brent.
God, I need help. I need a twist. I need something.
There you go. I'm feeling good.
I will say that I almost bought all my Mark stock. I almost moved everything over to Mark, and I was like, you know what? Let's do the Melissa strategy and own a little bit of everybody.
Don't do the Melissa strategy ever. Karen has $100 more than me.
Oh yeah, Melissa's at 98.
Oh, 90. God.
Yeah, there you go. I've got a $100 lead on Melissa. Wow. So feeling good about the stock watch. Feeling good about the drafts. I'm feeling good. I'm good.
Yeah, I'm sure you are feeling
great. Melissa, we can still win at the end. Yes. As long as we don't buy whoever Taryn ends up buying or betting. He might have a big enough lead where he can actually buy two different or cover two different people. I don't know. But if we get to the end, whoever ends up winning the game, they sell for $10 per share. So that is your avenue. You still have a little bit of hope.
Yes. So if you're able to pick the winner, then you might get a big payday. But you can also hold and not buy anyone and hope that somebody else makes a mistake in trying to buy a bunch of winner, and then you win by default. So it's like Jeopardy. All right. So let's talk about some of these other questions that are on the survey. I wanted to know, how would you rate the episodes of Big Brother Canada 7 this week? And the rating that we got was a 4.8. So that is just going to be slightly lower once again than the previous week. And then the feeds, a 4.9, which is also lower than the previous week. It's a continued downward trend. Yep. I also introduced the new question. I should have been asking this one from the start. It's what I used to have. How would you rate the season as a whole so far? And I want to track that as we go, because I just had the average of the feeds in the episode. I don't need that.
Go ahead.
Season as a whole so far. 4.5.
Yeah, that's probably about right.
Slightly below average.
Yeah, I think that's probably about right, actually, Melissa. I mean, like, it's been a pretty amazing season to watch strategy-wise in terms of watching people just run roughshod over that entire house. But on the other hand, they're running roughshod over the entire house, mm-hmm. and it's not very entertaining. And the cast, I'm sorry, I have to call the cast out. They've been just a bunch of, like, yeah, wet noodles.
Yeah.
It's not been fun. I will say that Doom had a good comments in the chat. He said, let's be honest, the true winner is Rob Cesternino, since he's not even watching anymore. So I don't know if that's true. I think
Rob might be on the podcast on Thursday.
Yeah, Rob's watching Doom, but he just hasn't been on our specific show anymore. But if he had stopped watching, he would be the real winner. Oh, and BB President has a question. Does anybody know what happens to all the non-winner holdings after the finale? So, Taryn, if Kira gets to the end and loses, they go down to zero.
Worthless.
Right? Yeah, that's what I thought.
I considered doing like a second place thing, but it's like, eh.
Yeah. Yeah. We're always trying to fine tune it. So, yes. they're worthless, Doom. All right, BB.
All right. So, a 4.5. I personally, I was really enjoying the season up until probably this week, a little bit of last week. It has finally started to slow down. The feeds have been a lot more calm, a lot less exciting, because the Pretty Boys have finally taken control. And I do think we're in for a slow couple of weeks. Hopefully the end of the season sort of picks up again. But who knows at that point? I would have said like a 7 or an 8 a couple weeks ago, probably down to a 6 or a 7 so far for the season as a whole right now. This week was probably something like a 4. It's been a boring week.
I have a question. Mel has a question in the chat. If there's a buyback and we still have that stock, does it count again? So I'm curious about that.
Yes. So if you had shares in somebody that was evicted and then they come back, those shares they're still there if you didn't sell them. Okay. So, you know.
They're probably not worth much, though.
No.
Usually we know when people are going out the door.
Yes. So that, you know, theoretically, if you wanted to like hold on to somebody in the hopes that they came back, that is an option. But not a great option.
There you go, Stacks. That's the answer to your question. If you want to hold on the Sam shares, you're more than willing to do so. But she's going to go down to zero after this week if she gets evicted and she doesn't come back into the game, and you'll lose all of that money. On the other hand, if she does come back into the game, she comes back into the game at the rating that she is right now.
Yes. And for what it's worth, I do believe I will be speaking to the eviction, the evictee on Friday. Good. So if they were coming back, I don't think that would be happening. So
okay,
we'll see. Rank your favorite players, rank the players from your favorite to your least favorite. Damien remains on top. That's hasn't changed. It's not changing.
I can't agree with that. I have to say, there were moments in time where I was rooting for Damien. I mean, think all the way through week 4, week 5, maybe I was rooting for Damien. I really thought, you know, he's a fun presence in the house. I could see him making a run at it. If things split open, he's in a good position. Everybody likes him. Nobody has him on their enemy list. But man, he has just done nothing with regards to playing this game. In the way that it needs to be played. Taryn, somebody sent me a tweet saying, you know, ha ha ha, Taryn is, you know, delusional that Damien is actually playing the Big Brother game. He's not. I agree with you that he's playing it. He's just playing it badly. Mm-hmm. This isn't summer camp, dude. Like, you really have to go in there and really, you have to actively do something. And he's so passive. But on the other reason, that's why so many people like him, because he is so passive and he's just a chill guy.
Yeah, like Damien the player, it's not doing a whole lot for me. Damien the guy, I want to hang out with him. He's a cool guy.
Yeah, exactly. He'd be a great guy to have a beer with.
Yeah, neither of us drink.
Or a Coke. Neither Taryn or I drink, so we won't be having any beers.
Yeah, have some water with him. So second place, last week it was Sam. This week, also Sam.
Yeah.
Holding on.
Okay.
Makes sense.
Where's Corey at on the list?
So last week, Corey was third. Top three, gap between Corey and the rest of the house guests. This week, Corey has fallen all the way down to second to last, just above Kira.
Oh, goodness. I had no idea that was going to happen.
Melissa's so indignant.
Melissa with her vote spam bot.
Just me, like, bottom, bottom, bottom. It's terrible.
Quite a dramatic fall for Corey. This might be the biggest fall we've seen, perhaps ever, from third place all the way down to second to last, just above Kira. Anthony has taken the number three spot from Sam, or from
as
Corey.
As he should. You've all finally getting on board.
Yeah. Yes. He took her HOH and he took her spot.
Yes. Anthony leapfrogged Adam, Mark, and Corey to get to the third place position. And then the rest of the other two pretty boys that aren't Dane are going to follow Anthony, Adam, and then Mark. And then a little bit of a gap. We've got Esty and Dane neck and neck, and then Corey and Kira. So there you go. Yes, Kira has held the last place spot for quite a while. It might be the whole season, but I think there might have been one person who was lower than Kira, at least in week two. But I think from week three forward, Kira, what week is this? Week one, Sam was last place. Followed by Adam.
I was disappointed with her week one as well. And I was like, oh, I can't even believe I drafted her. What was I thinking? And then she turned it around. So
she really grew on us. She obviously isn't Jerry. She won't be able to hear from us right away. But I do feel like once she gets out of the house, she's really going to get some of the love that I feel like she deserves. I know that people have been giving Kiki some of the love. I had so many people who wrote to me. Like, I literally had four people write to me and say, can you please like set the record straight that Kiki was never going to go after Dane. Like, she would never have targeted him. Like, and I'm like, yeah, I'll read her the riot act, but I don't take my orders from you people. I was going to do it anyway. She annoyed the shit out of me.
Yeah, so week one, it was Sam and Adam on the bottom, followed by Kira. Kira was third to last. And then ever since week two of the Stockwatch or the forums, Kira has been in last place. Something else interesting to note, Anthony was second to last just 2 weeks ago. Then last week, he jumped to the middle of the pack. And then this week, he jumped up to the top three. So big changes all around. It's really been a very dynamic favorite player thing, apart from Damien up there at the top.
I think there's a strange dynamic when somebody's controlling the house, where in the beginning you're like, we want the underdogs to rise up and get rid of them. We hate that person who's controlling the house. And then when the underdogs are even worse, when they're not doing anything and they're terrible, then you're like, okay, you know what? Forget the underdogs. Now I respect the person who's in control because they're the ones who are playing. And I've felt that way like almost literally every season, like with Derek, especially in BB16, I thought that. And I was like, I was sitting there like, everyone needs to rise up against Derek. We need to get rid of him. And then by the time I realized that nobody was going to rise up and everyone was just little like pawns in his game, I was like, okay, you know what? Now I've changed and I want Derek to win. Derek better take this thing home.
Oh, because yeah.
He's controlling
that
it.
That was, yes.
There's a flip where it's like you realize that the people who are the underdogs, who you're like, you can do this. You can band together and get rid of this person. When you realize like, oh, they suck and they're never going to do that. And it flips like that.
You know where it was for me?
That's what happened with Anthony.
When Donnie lost that HOH to Cody, that's where it was for me. Because Donnie was in the final, not the final two. He was the last two standing in this HOH competition. When Nicole came back into the game, Donnie could have won. It was Donnie and Cody. It needed to be Donnie. And I was like, yes. But then he didn't win. Cody won HOH. And then the rest is history. Like after that, I really was on board the Derek train. I was like, I hope he takes it home because he deserves it. But, you know, there is definitely something that happens where you're through with these people.
Guys. Yeah, exactly. And that's at the point where I am right now. So, yeah. It happens every season. I can just like take it down.
Well, I asked the audience to rank the players in order of who's strategically best for Corey's game to target this week. Is she making the correct decision? The audience says no.
No.
The audience says Dane should have been her target. If not Dane, then Adam. If not Dane or Adam, then Mark. If not Dane, Adam, or Mark, then Esty.
Basically, anybody but who she did target.
Yep.
Yes, Sam is then after those four. The people the audience said were below Sam were Kira, Anthony, and Damien were the three that she should definitely not target. So audience really, really disagreeing with Corey's move here. Not surprising. Yeah,
not surprising.
Also, I asked, now that we've seen it play out, are you for or against the blood veto twist? Now, before we saw it play out, the audience was against the blood veto twist at about a 30% out of 100. They were, you know, not super into it. After seeing the blood veto play out, that number has gone cut in half. 14%, very against. This is the most against the audience has been against anything since we introduced this question. People very much disappointed with the blood veto twist. Not surprising.
Yeah. Just a big bunch of nothing. And Taryn, you correctly point out the fact that it could have been even worse. Like we could have actually gotten what we wanted in the house. And then the twist could have been used to save the pretty boys. I think that's probably what we deserve at this point.
Yeah. I asked halfway through the season, how are you feeling about the HOH not playing in the veto? I was wondering if this was going to change from the last time I asked. The last time I asked, it was about a 48% right down the middle. And so I asked again halfway through the season, and it's a 48% split down the middle.
Yeah, I feel like it's doing what I don't know if production wants this or not, but it really is hiding the target on these boys because they can't play in veto. They can't do the HOH veto double that really gets a target on people. And because of that, you only have three people who've won all of the competitions this season. Adam, Dane, and Corey won a veto and an HOH, but, you know, not being able to play in the veto. I don't like it. On the other hand, it does save these kind of players, but the problem is that these kind of players are usually the people that I don't like and the audience doesn't like and Twitter definitely doesn't like. So, I'd like for these people to be able to play in the veto and shoot themselves in the foot if they there's some people like Steve Moses who would know, hey, I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't win the veto when on the HOH. Like those are the smart people, but other people are not so smart. Like I feel like they should be punished for their idiot moves and choosing to win a veto when they have no business doing so. Like Corey's going to be in a week or two, but you know, the putting this twist into play, like the HOH can't play, really saves all of these boys from making that mistake. And I don't like that.
Yeah. And I brought this up last night. I think that's a huge part of it. I think it's helping the competition beasts in that regard. And then I also think that what we're seeing is that it's also removing what should be your biggest competition from the veto competition if you are a big player on the block, where normally Dane would have to compete against Corey, who's good at competitions in the veto. But now he doesn't have to. And so he has his chances of winning the veto increase dramatically. Not only does it go from 1 in 6 to 1 in 5, but that one that you're removing is probably the next best competitor that you would have been facing. And so it becomes even more difficult to get out these big competition threats. And I think that maybe in Big Brother US, that's not quite as big of a deal because you definitely can't rely on winning vetoes or HOHs in Big Brother US. But you kind of can in Big Brother Canada. There are it's a lot easier to be a competition beast in Big Brother Canada because there are much fewer crapshoot competitions. So I think that combination has, you know, had an impact on the game that I do think is slightly negative. I was interested to see how this plays out. I'm very intrigued by the way that it has played out over the course of the season. I think that probably I would not continue this moving forward with Big Brother Canada unless they change up their competition structure, and at which point maybe it's worth revisiting. But for now, I think it has failed a little bit.
Yeah, I think it has failed as well. I was a little bit more positive on it as you know we moved along a little bit, but now seeing the way things shook out, I have to think that they'll revisit this. Maybe they won't, but I do think that they should.
Yes. All right. Final question was, who do you want to be evicted this week? Not really surprising. About 70% said Esty over Sam.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, I think we all do. Yeah, she's useless.
There you go. So that was the survey. That was the Stockwatch. Very, very pleased with how all of that's going. Anything else that you guys wanted to bring up?
No, great show last night with Bruno, like I said. Huya did a great job. I'm looking forward to Know-It-Alls. Is that next week? It is. Right? Or the week after? What's the date?
I'm leaving on the 16th, which is next week.
Yeah, so it's next week. Yeah, so what are we doing for the roundtable? The roundtable's on Monday.
Roundtable's on Monday, so we'll be good for the roundtable.
Okay, yeah, there we go. Okay.
Yes.
Cool. Yes.
So let me know if you have an idea in the chat for a hashtag for this roundtable podcast. So next week we will still be here for the roundtable. It's the updates are might be shifted in terms of timing. Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Yes. By the way, Stacked. She said this a couple of times. She wants me to add a question to the survey, or have you add a question to the survey? Have you been blocked by Marcellus Reynolds? Because I think there are some people in the chat who have actually been blocked by him, but I think he like maybe just blocks all Big Brother people.
Yes.
So it's not specifically me.
Yeah, I think that's
why
very
would
likely.
You do that? Like, what's he doing these days? Like, his name is Marcellus Marquis. Like, somebody who's not blocked by Marcellus, come tell me. DM me and tell me what the hell Marcellus is doing these days. I want
to know. Marcellus, one of the few people to have turned down an invitation to the Taran show.
She's over Big Brother.
Not into the Big Brother stuff. So that's what we've got for you. So tomorrow morning, I will be back at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything happening on the Big Brother Canada 7 live feeds. And then special announcement for a special podcast. Wednesday, I will be speaking with the winner of Big Brother Canada 5, Kevin Martin.
Yay.
We're going to record a podcast about the season and release it as a special Wednesday podcast. We're going to record that during the day. So that'll be very fun. It will not be live, but we will release it to the audio feed on the podcast feed. So that'll be very fun. Very excited to talk to Kevin and get his thoughts. And then Thursday night, we'll be back to recap the eviction episode of Big Brother Canada 7. Looking forward to all of this great stuff, Melissa.
Mm-hmm. That's very exciting.
Yes.
Yes. I'm sorry that I can't be there for that circle jerk between you and Kevin.
Okay.
Taran's like, that's enough. Oh,
you're so great. Yeah. Thank you, Taran. You're such an awesome. You're so unbiased in the way you do things. Oh, my God. I can hear it now.
That's why it's not live, so the chat can't comment. I can't go in the chat.
I highly recommend that people go and revisit the finale recap podcast for Big Brother Ooh. Canada 5. It's some of Brent's worst work, I think.
I was in Disneyland. I was having trouble with my Wi-Fi. I was really pissed. And I was really, really mad because I wanted Dimitri to win, not Kevin. You know, because I wanted Aika to, you know, have... Well, first of all, I wanted Aika to win, and then she couldn't win. So I was like, well, if Dimitri wins, then, you know, that's Aika winning to me. And then he also didn't win. And then I was like, well, maybe Karen could... No. It didn't work. To his credit, Kevin Martin has not blocked me on Twitter. He's never even been close to it. He's been totally cool. I totally think that that's the way to play things and just, you know, let it roll off your back. It's so hard for me to hate you when you let it roll off your back. Like Eddie did.
All right. I'm seeing hashtag sewer games.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So you can find us on Twitter. I'm at Armstrong Taren. Brent is at One Lucky Gay. Make sure to block him. And then he loves it. He loves it. He'll get to tweet about it. It'll be a fun time.
Yeah, he'll talk about it.
Yeah. Unless you're like a nobody, then I'm like, oh, did you like? I wouldn't even know.
Yeah. Ooh, all you nobodies. That's how Brent sees you.
Frustrated. Yeah. Hashtag frustrated. Mm.
Yeah. Melissa is at It's Melissa with 3 A's at the end. No apostrophe either.
No, I know. I hate it. I'm a big grammar person and I hate that it can't have an apostrophe. But you know what? Whatever.
Hey,
what
Doom. Do? No,
I'll
Kevin
go a
Martin.
Little wild sometimes.
Kevin Martin did not shade me on the feeds. And Taren, please tell me if I'm wrong on this.
No,
I don't.
He shaded me on the feeds.
He shaded you on the feeds. Yeah.
That's he also happened. Shaded Brent, though, because he said that Brent was the villain of the podcast.
Yes.
Yeah, but he said that he's also really fun and it would be different if I wasn't there or would be like, it wouldn't be the same.
Yes.
Like,
I don't
he
think
shaded it, me because he knew my name. The first time he talked, he knew my name. And then the second time he brought it up, he's like, oh, who's that new girl? There's a girl, right? I was like, you just said my name like a week ago.
He was filling so much information into his head about the game that he was losing some information. Your name happened to be one of the things he lost. I think that's the official
Yeah, whatever.
Line.
Yeah, somebody can tweet me a clip of Kevin talking about us because he said something else about me, but I can't remember.
All right. Have they mentioned the LFC this year? No. This is not the cast for that.
This is not the cast for the LFC.
If any, well, I mean, Eddie could have theoretically, but he didn't, which is like the right call if you're Eddie in the house.
Yeah. Eddie, I thought you were going to be Johnny. I compared you to Johnny early on. How wrong I was.
You're going to do. All right.
Rob has a podcast hasn't gotten a mention in a long time, I feel. I feel like.
We're bigger than ever.
We did on Big Brother 20.
So.
Yeah, we did on Big Brother 20.
So that's pretty recent. All right. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. For Brent and Melissa, I'm Taren Armstrong. Hashtag sewer games. We'll see you next time.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.